Hi folks, this is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 40. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars, amps, and pedals, and music and all, I'm conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Chime in with comments and such on the blog, or show notes at theguitarpodcast.net/blog. Follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. Last but not least, go to theguitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts, where you'll get emails notifying you when a new episode has been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. All right, well, this week's episode is episode number 40. It's an interview with Mike Morris at Brownsburg Guitar, and we talk about basically his experience over the last almost year since he first started up his small guitar shop. And it's a fairly long episode. Now, please bear with me. I've had some mic issues. I think the input level is really high, so I'm clipping quite a bit. And so I've had to edit out quite a bit of that. Now, please bear with me. There are some segments that I couldn't remove because the content was really pretty good, and I wanted to keep that there so the flow was right. So you will get some distortion here and there from clipping. I'm working through this to try to be sure to get that mic level down so that it doesn't clip so much. I'm still having issues with it today. I'm going to work through that. I don't know what I changed, but I will fix it because we never had this issue before. Anyway, here we go. How you doing, Mike?
Good. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Now, this is where I teach on Thursday nights, and this audience knows I just started teaching again back in January, and it was kind of a thing that was kind of funny for me, thinking, man, it's been so long, only like 15 years or so since I taught and everything. So, but I really enjoy it. I look forward to it in a lot of ways, and I really enjoy the conversations I have with Mike after hours and stuff. And how long has the store been open, Mike?
We opened in February, so about 14 months ago. I had been a factory guy all my life. Started playing guitar as a teenager, like tons of folks. Played as a hobby all my life, and kind of always had that as a goal or a dream. And things changed at work when the economy went down, so figured it was as good a time as any to make the jump, and we did.
Scary step.
You know, actually, we spent probably 2 years buying inventory and getting a plan down. So I was pretty confident, actually, when we did it. It's been a little better than I initially thought it might go.
That's good. Tell folks what we have here, what you sell and so on. What kind of store is this?
We sell all used or vintage only. Pretty much nothing new other than a few entry-level items. We carry about 100 pieces in stock at a time. That'll include Mandos, Ukes, and everything. Guitars, probably 75 or less, but all used for the most part. Allows me to carry a little more variety, I think. I've always liked vintage stuff. Kind of been drawn to those kind of shops as a customer and a fan, so that was my thing, and it allows me to compete, I think, too, at a little different level, where it's tough to compete with the big box stores with new stuff, where I think if you work hard and find some of the gems and stuff, it gives you a little advantage, competitive, more interesting gear for the inventory.
And you all know I love used guitar shops. So when I found out that this place was opening up by one of Mike's neighbors, neighboring businesses, I came right over to check it out, see what was going on and everything. He was just starting up, and really just, you know, could tell that he was a pretty good guy and everything. And I'm glad to be working here because we talk so much, and I think got a pretty good friend here. But you sell used guitars and equipment and some accessories.
Right, yeah, we got accessories. We've got some tube amps, some cool stuff. And accessories, we kind of just have I do repairs here, so I have what I need for that and just the basics as far as accessories. But I have intentions to expand, and I'm kind of one of those weird goal guys. I have real defined goals of what I want the business to do. I know exactly how long I want to be in the business and at what point I want to get out, and I have number goals and stuff like that. But so, you know, we have definitely plans to expand. We've remodeled. We're in a tiny little, like a 1,000 square foot. It's actually a former residence that's now zoned commercial. And we've remodeled a couple times already, making room for more lesson rooms and trying to get it set up a little better. So, you know, trying to move forward and improve things all the time.
Yeah, you mentioned setting goals. If you're not setting goals for this sort of thing, any kind of, whether it's a business venture or your education or becoming a better guitar player or whatever, setting goals, without setting goals, you're just flying blind. And it's so much more important whenever you're, say, at a point in life where it's like, I'm gonna get out of the rat race and start up my own business, something like that. When you're taking that kind of risk, you have to have these goals and set it in place. I think that's great.
Yeah, that's really big for me. I mean, we, you know, just to open the store, we had to meet a lot of goals, you know, a certain amount of inventory, a certain amount at different levels, you know, so much. I had ideas of how much entry-level stuff, mid-level stuff, more high-end or vintage stuff, you know, and we just had an idea of what I thought I needed to attract all those different markets. And, of course, there's different margins and everything with all those levels. So I come in this, and I've told this from the day I opened, everybody who's come in here, that, you know, I have a lot to learn, and, you know, I have customers that teach me every day. I've gotten to know most of the shop owners nearby, and they have all been friendly and cool and helpful, passed on a lot of knowledge. And so I always have my ears open and try to pick up what I can. You know, it goes a long way, like anything else in life.
I think it's a good idea to have good relations with even your competition, local competition, the same, you know, stores that are slightly bigger, even if they're slightly smaller. You know, I think it's a good idea to have that.
Yeah, I have, it's funny that my favorite guitar I bought when I was a teenager, the guy I bought that guitar from, still is in business. So as I was preparing to do this, I went to see him, and he was really helpful, and it was kind of cool. You know, it's kind of like one of his proteges was moving along. You know, he's a little bit, probably 15, 20 years older. So I was just a punk kid hanging out in his shop, and I think he thought it was kind of cool that I was stepping in, but he was real helpful. And then I've gotten to know the local shop owners here, and they've all also been real friendly and helpful. So we do kind of have a relationship where if we can keep folks in our community, you know, if I don't have it, go see this guy or this guy instead of running to the big box stores, then we kind of all win. We try to help each other and benefit in that way.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a benefit to being able to go to a big box store from time to time. I remember whenever I first heard about Guitar Centers and such when I was a kid, I was like, oh, that'd be so cool.
Oh, yeah, it's
and
exciting.
Now we have them here in Indiana.
You know, once in a while, I can't say I don't.
I mean,
they definitely fill a void. You know, there's some things they, you know, a little mom and pop shop like me can never do that those big power guys can.
Right. I remember when Mars came before Guitar Center and before Sam Ash was here, that, I bought plenty of stuff up there, but always my favorite place was the local used shop. Because the special thing about a used shop is you walk in, you never know what you're going to find.
Yep.
You know, a lot of places you walk in, you say, oh, yeah, they're going to have a bunch of Fenders or some Squires or whatever. We don't have a boutique shop around here.
Right.
But, you know, whenever you come in to a used shop, you don't know what Gibson might be on the wall, or what if there might be a Framus on the wall. They're like, wow.
Exactly. I mean, we intentionally did not want to carry any lines just for that reason, because I'm the same way. You know, it's like the term for today is pickers, but, you know, everybody wants to go out on that treasure hunt, and I'm no different. And, you know, that's, I consider my main job is to find cool stuff, you know, at a reasonable price where I can sell it, hopefully have a little room to make a buck, and still pass on a fair deal. You know, you got to treat people pretty decent if you expect them to come back. So, you know, that's the biggest part of my job, really, is finding some cool stuff to keep revolving in and out the door.
Now, you have, obviously, I teach guitar lessons here, but how many teachers do you have here?
We've got four. We have three lesson rooms, so right now we're doing two teachers per night, four nights a week, and going to try to build the clientele up to where we're running all three each night.
People who listen to this, they know that all my students are beginners. I could specialize in this, but, you know, there's no way I can I do have two of the older ones are getting to the point where they might be able to start focusing a little bit more on some different styles of music or techniques and such. There's still a ways away. I mean, whenever you're 14, 15 years old playing guitar, you can really soak up a lot really quick and get good pretty quick. You just have that time. That's such a great age. 14, 15. I just hated it, but it's such a great age. I hated it and loved it at the same time. It's like, this is like the perfect freedom because you're really starting to figure some things out and everything. But yeah, you know, if you were to say the kind of staff you have here for teachers that
very diverse.
You can really focus in on the beginner student, but beyond that, the different styles that can be presented.
Yeah, we have of our four guys, we have all of them are adults, we'll just put it that way. I don't have any younger adults or teenagers, and that also was very much by design. Although, of course, I'm open to the legalities. But anyway, we have teachers. We have a guy who's sort of a chicken picking specialist, a thumb picker, finger style guy, a couple guys that really can rock. So everybody can handle beginner to. I don't have anyone here who can't take advanced students, and that's real important. I didn't want anybody who could only take the beginners. You know, everybody is versatile enough and skilled enough that they can take certainly beginners and help them, give them a real good solid foundation. And that's important to all of us. You know, we do care about trying to teach adults or kids, whatever, to enjoy the music and learn how to do it properly and, you know, give them a foundation they can build on. And then they're good enough also, yourself included, all four of them, you know, they can take the advanced guys and just take them to that next level, get them over. There always seems to be a hump no matter where you're at that you're trying to get over. So that's cool that they can all push them through.
Yeah. What have been, would you like to talk about some of the challenges that you've encountered with this? I mean, whether it was back when you first started talking to your wife about, hey, you know, I kind of like to get out of the factory and work and do this and, you know, to follow this passion and everything about.
Yeah. Well, first off, I'm real lucky. My wife is very cool, supportive. So I never had any resistance at home for it. So that's one battle I didn't have to fight, which is very helpful. Beyond that, location, I looked serious where I was going out. I had a real good idea of where I wanted to be, and I looked for probably 18 months before I settled for this location. You know, I wanted good drive-by coverage. I wanted convenience for people, I think, is probably the number one key, more than anything else, that you better be convenient. And then, of course, the overhead had to be reasonable. So that was our first hurdle that seemed to take forever. You know, I was buying inventory, stocking it at home, trying to learn, trying to read, trying to study, and the whole time looking for a spot that was right. So that was our first one we got over. We had, you know, we remodeled the building itself lightly, nothing major, but had to turn it into a guitar shop, so that was the next thing. And then, you know, the fun part is building the friendships and the relationships with customers and neighbors and, you know, new friends and players. And, you know, there's a 14-year-old kid that come in here who's just out of this world, and retired folks who, you know, you kind of have a prejudgment for some folks, women who come in, just, you know, awesome players, great folks, friendly people, help me, teach me. It's fun.
Yeah, I remember one time, about a month or two ago, I came in on a Saturday. My wife and kids hadn't met Mike. They didn't know where I went on guitar lesson night. I was like, you know, you guys need to meet Mike. You need to see what's, you know. And we came in, and there were two, middle-aged to elderly, would you say elderly? But they were sitting over on stools, so each playing acoustics. We walked in, and they're playing. One of them singing. It was a little mini concert. It was really nice. And, of course, my 3.5-year-old daughter, she just loved it. And it was really cool, you know, that sort of thing would just, you know, happen at the local guitar shop. It certainly makes me think, man, one of these days.
Yeah, I enjoy getting to know folks by name, and it seems like such a little deal, but I love to introduce, you know, I always try to remember people's names. I go out of my way, and I always want to introduce everybody. You know, I think it's fun when you come to the guitar shop and you meet new friends, and the next time you come back, they're there again, and now you kind of got a little relationship going, and it's another friend in the business who enjoys the same hobby or business, whatever it is, so that's real cool.
Yeah. You know, and when you're talking about, I don't know, whenever or any of these like team building or motivational speakers or whatever they say, what would you do if you had, you know, all, you know, if you won the lottery or if you didn't have to worry about, what would you do? That's the line of work you should be in or whatever. And I'm, you know, I don't know how much I really buy into, you know, I'm going to quit my, you know, my steady job and go and one of those things was, I was saying, you know, I retire if I were able to say enough is enough.
Yep.
You know, one would be certainly to develop the, you know, the homestead and get, you know, the permaculture sort of gardening thing going there and of course focus on family. But aside from that, outside of the house, I love to work at a guitar shop. And just, you know, casually hang out and, you know, teach some lessons and maybe run around and find some choice things and, you know, bring it back and say, Mike, look at this or whatever. Yeah, hey, let's put that in the inventory or, you know, that sort of thing. So I think, I kind of think that you may be living a dream that
yeah.
A lot of us tend to want to be.
I've had a lot of offers to work for people to come in and work for free, as a matter of fact. but I tell you, I was so green, I didn't even know what I didn't know, if that makes any sense. You
sure.
Know what I mean? I came in never having worked in retail, let alone a guitar shop. I mean, I was really just flying by the seat of my pants. But, you know, I just try to have a good dose of common sense and, you know, I think more than anything, just treating people decent and fair and being friendly is huge. You know, people are so busy. There's folks don't take time to be polite and just overall friendly. So I go out of my way to do that. And, you know, there's so much you can learn from everybody. That really, it's fun. You know, that's a big part of it.
You know, I think that being friendly is a very, very important part of this, any type of retail, and we've talked about this before, that
yeah.
A lot of your clientele, it's, you know, it's moms and dads bringing in their
yeah.
kids for guitar lessons, and, you know, you want to be gruff with them? Do you want to have return
exactly.
customers? You want to be
genuine. I mean, I'm here and you're here, and so are the other teachers here, because we love guitars, you know. I'm not going to get rich doing this. You're not going to get rich doing this. I have some goals. I'm sure we all do, but you know, we love music, we love guitars, we love to share that, and, you know, I think it's pretty genuine. I think people, for the most part, get that. You know, there's always an exception here and there, but we go out of our way to pass that on with folks.
Sure. I think, you know, I'm not looking to be a millionaire, but it'd be really nice just to, you know, to replace the current income, maybe a little better, of course.
Yeah.
A little better, not too greedy, right? You know, to be able to do what you really love. And because you're passing on this, you're an avenue for people to be able to have their kids come in and they're learning.
Yep.
This next generation is learning guitar when, you know.
And that means something to me. I know it does you too.
It does. You know, and we saw the trend. Around the turn of the century, that actually, I want to rewind a bit back to when hair metal was killed by Kurt Cobain in the fall of '91.
Yeah,
it was having its death rattles, and you know, with bands like Soundgarden and Alice in Chains coming out and saying, you know, there's a better thing going on here. And then if Nirvana didn't do it, it was Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
You know, right after
yeah.
It's like, okay. Yeah, you're done. Great, because we really needed. Oh, and Black Crowes.
Stevie Ray Vaughan saved the blues. Yeah. You know, whether or not you're a big fan of him personally, you know, I think everybody has to agree he did a lot for that genre.
But I think those bands really helped guitar along through that rest of that decade.
Yep.
But I think it was still somewhat on a bit of life support because hip hop and rap was taking over so much. And I'm sure majority of kids today probably would be listening only to rap. And I'm sure they do listen to a lot of rap with Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
Yep.
When those came out, I mean, that's been a huge influence on getting kids in the door to play. I'm really good at Guitar Hero.
Right. And I know this Led Zeppelin song, but they would have never heard before, or Aerosmith or whatever.
And the marketing was great, and it's very good for the guitar industry. That they're like, I've heard Sweet Home Alabama that was written like 15 years before they were born.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, 20 years 30, before they were born. And even for us, I mean, we were little nerds when those songs came out.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or even like the first Zeppelin album, that was what, 68? I was not born then.
Yeah, I was born, but not very deep yet.
Yeah, yeah, and I read into Vintage Guitar, latest Vintage Guitar magazine is talking about the greatest songs of the 70s and stuff. This one song was from 71. I was like, really, man? I was born in 71. That song is so great. You're writing such good stuff. And I've said on here before that I think, you know, the 70s is one of the best decades of rock and roll.
Me
I said
too,
I went I the totally 60s, agree. But I don't think the 60s really got rolling until the late 60s, probably about 67, 68. Hendrix kind of kicked everybody in the butt and said, man, this is how it's done, folks,
yep.
You know?
When I see these kids, it reminds me of, you know, my cousins were kind of my main influences. One of them was from out of state, and they'd come visit in the summers, and he was 4 or 5 years older, so he always had the coolest 8-tracks or whatever, you know, that were out, and I know that dates everything. Yeah, and then, you know, my other cousin is the one who actually got me playing guitar, so he was my hero, too. And, you know, so when I see these kids, that just takes me back to that exactly. It's cool.
Well, you know, in the early 90s, they're bringing back vinyl, and there's a fairly popular record store in a trendy area of town that has tons of vinyl.
One of my customers just released a CD, and it comes with vinyl as well.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Now, whenever I was working at Karma Records in, 1995, it was like a special thing that I think that Pearl Jam put out a record, you know,
right.
On vinyl, too. And
retro, I guess, at that time.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, but now, I think the Black Eyed Peas even have something, and it's a bunch of different bands that, I mean, I went in there, I could not believe all the vinyl I saw from modern bands, so, I mean, I don't think 8-tracks come back. I mean, it's kind of how they CDs, which are pretty much obsolete too.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't listen to anything. I don't buy them, man. I buy them all online.
It's all downloaded now.
Yeah, or converting my old CDs to, and I listen to them on my phone. You know,
a changing market, huh?
Yeah, it is. Then you can make your own playlist. It's really cool. But so we were talking about the challenges of that you had have a really cool wife that. Was on board with you making this move and everything,
yep.
And that it was so well planned out. I mean, yeah, we're only 14 months into it. We're still in a small building, but you still have a smile on your face. You still are optimistic about the future. And the biggest thing is you have this plan, and that's key.
Yeah, I really do. I've never been happier in my life. There's no question. And my wife knows it. You know, I just was in a career for a long time, like a lot of folks, you know, doing what I had to do to, you know, support the family. I mean, most folks do it, and so I took the gamble, but I did my best to educate myself, and you know, I couldn't be happier. I do have real specific goals that we're working hard to stay on the right timeline, and you know, they're challenging, but that's fun to me. I like to try to meet those challenges and stay grounded at the same time. We're growing slow, but we're always growing, so that's a positive.
What's probably the thing you're most proud of with the store? Do you think you just nailed it right on the head? You did the absolute perfect thing for this.
This will probably sound a little kiss-uppy, but it's the absolute truth. When I opened, I didn't have any teachers, interviewed a bunch, and I couldn't be happier with the four teachers I got. It really is the anchor of this business. I mean, anybody who's thinking about getting in it, you better be into lessons. It's a financial anchor. It's a constant turnstile of folks walking in and out your door. It's an opportunity for you to get to know them and become their friend. And, you know, you need to give them their dollars worth when they're here. And my guys, you know, they deliver and they're always positive and they truly want them to, you know, enjoy it. And that's important to me. So that I'd say that's my biggest success so far, is I was lucky enough to hook up with guys who have great personalities and skills, and that's helping me grow the business.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that.
Yeah, that's true. It's, you know, you think about that. If you don't have good guys, folks aren't going to keep coming back. So it's important.
It goes back to being a nice guy and having good guys in your store. Because I remember the only store I knew of growing up, it was closest by, and I knew they had good stuff, and it looked like they had. I thought they had good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy running the store was not the nicest guy. He was
intimidating.
Yeah, he was intimidating. I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm 12 years old. I walk in there, I'm like, yeah, I like Randy Rhodes.
And you're another one of those. He's freaking.
And he's like, oh, great. I'm like, and I like Van Halen. He's like, and starts ripping into Van Halen and tearing him down. I'm like, man, I kind of, well, you're just killing my hero.
Yeah.
You're kind of killing a potential sale. And then yeah. He just was not a nice guy. I wound up taking lessons from him, ironically. That was the only thing I knew of around here, was closest. And I did learn a lot, but, man, he was not a nice guy. And, you know, later on I got to know him so much better to understand where he was really coming from. But still, you're running a retail shop. You're dealing with moms and dads.
Yep.
And little kids. And we're not being, Catholic nuns at the Catholic school striking your hand with the ruler.
That's
until
right.
It bleeds. And because this is a voluntary thing.
Exactly. This is not a necessity.
They
so
can leave if
you,
they want.
Yeah, you better provide, some education, some fun, and, you better do it with a smile on your face. And frankly, for me, coming out of doing a career of something that I wasn't all that thrilled with, if I don't come in here with a smile on my face, what is going to make me happy? If
right.
A guitar shop doesn't make me happy, what's it going to take, So
right, no kidding.
When you look at it that way, it's pretty easy.
Yeah. Well, something else that I thought was really cool, and I think I've mentioned on a previous podcast, is that this is the first place I've ever seen this in a guitar store that gives lessons,
mm-hmm.
but that Mike has a monitor on the wall that is split up into four screens that shows it basically surveillance cameras in each one of the practice rooms, so that he can sit there at the table, sit there at his workbench, and look over and be sure that, the safety of the student is upheld, because he can see what's going on. He can see what the teacher's doing.
Yep.
Either not do anything crazy or throwing any chairs or whatever. And, When I first saw that, I was like, man, this is kind of different.
Feels invasive at first, I imagine, but.
Well, I mean, as a teacher, I don't know, but it was just kind of like, it really, really makes sense, and why not? Why not do that? Why not offer that assurance to your the parents of the students that are coming in? And
it's a guarantee,
And I've got kids, too.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Quite to that age. I gave my 3.5-year-old her first lesson. It only took about a minute. I thought, man, okay, how's this gonna go? I taught her. I had her hold the pick and play this real skinny string. Go 1, 2, 3, 4, and she did it a little bit, kind of, and do it again. Okay, and after about a minute, are you done? Yeah. And the guitar lesson over. All right. Well, that was the easiest guitar lesson I've ever done. But we keep on doing that. My goal is to not push her on that. But yeah, I mean, I talked all the way through that, hopefully about the monitor. But we really want to hear you talk about it. I mean, people hear me blabber on all the time. Well, like a fresh voice.
Yeah, I mean, the monitor was really, because the shop is so small, and I don't know if other people do it or not, but, I mean, the shop's so small that, you know, we just stuffed the rooms in where we could, and it's a, we don't have a proper waiting area for parents, so it lets them, of course, they're always welcome to go in the lessons with the kids, but it just lets them watch and know their kids are safe, you know, it's just that simple, and so pretty simple solution.
Yeah, there was a large store that I worked at, and each lesson studio had, I mean, they really built this out. It was really something. But each studio had windows.
Yeah.
So, I mean, large windows so that anytime anybody could walk by. So, right. You know,
kind of the same idea. A little bit. With a bigger budget.
But not as, I don't think that was as effective as this is.
Yeah, it does work well. I mean, it's a nice sales tool when I have prospective parents and kids come in. You know, if it's not on, I always grab the remote control. And, you know, so it's like an automatic guarantee. You know, you're welcome to sit in, or if you just want to sit out here, boom, there you go, have a look, you know. So
right.
Gets it done.
Because the first place I taught at, I mean, we were back in this little closet of a room.
Yeah.
Closed door, no windows, no nothing. And it just, you know, I was a decent guy, doing anything. But the thing is,
you never knew.
You never knew what somebody, and you know, for the protection of the teacher too.
Because
I was teaching adults. I'm
sure.
Not teaching any adults right now. I'm teaching girls 15 and under.
Yeah, I mean, that takes our liability away as well. You know, we're recording 24 hours a day. So
yeah, but I was what, 20? Skinny,
right.
130 pounds, you know. I was a little guy. And I was teaching everybody from a 7-8-year-old girl all the way up to a 65-year-old man and everything in between. And some of these guys that were coming in, I was teaching, they're big guys working construction or in a factory, and they're working muscles every day. They're grown men in their 30s and such. And, you know, who knows?
The online stuff is, you know, not something that comes natural for me, but that's a part of the business I'm trying to grow. The potential for that, obviously, is worldwide and endless. I love vintage, so the vintage stuff with the worldwide market has huge potential. So a lot of my goals are in that direction, as well as just square foot in the brick-and-mortar store. But, you know, I'm trying to educate myself slowly and get some people who are more talented, because I can't wait for my learning curve to catch up online. But, you know, I know people like yourself who are talented in that field. So,
oh, thanks.
Trying to move in that direction as well and grow.
So what's something that, do you have any regrets so far? Things you wish you hadn't done or something like that? It's like, you know, if I had to do that again, I wouldn't do that. I mean, if you don't want to talk about anything like that, that's fine.
You know, I don't, nothing specific comes to mind. I mean, I suppose there's been days where I haven't been the happiest, but, no, I'm pretty happy with most of my major decisions anyway. Of course, I'm impatient. I wish it would grow, faster and, you know, grow is a funny word too, because I don't really ever want to be more than a mom and pop shop. I just want to be the best mom and pop shop I can be. You know, I don't want a fleet of employees. I don't want to be a box store. That's not my goal. Nothing wrong with it. It's just not my goal. So, you know, that growing thing is kind of a catch 22, but like I say, we have our specific goals and we're trying to do that. And, I don't really have any regrets. No.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good. When you're talking about not having patience, I think 2 years of planning ahead of time illustrates some significant patience.
yeah.
Most anything I've done has not been, other than this guitar podcast, I thought about this for a long time before I actually did it.
And it's cool. So,
thanks.
I mean, you can tell it's not a thrown together thing. You know, there's some effort in there, and it's obvious.
Thanks.
I enjoy it as well.
I guess this is the one thing that I did, other than going to college and becoming what I became, but that I that I thought about for years. I knew the technology fairly well enough to be able to do and then learn more and to learn more and then just go, okay, well, why do I really want to do this? And can it? And then I got encouragement from other podcasters and other guitar podcasts or other podcasts that talk about guitar, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
And I've gotten great encouragement from them, and that's been great. There's so many podcasts, I can't listen to all of them. It's like I bounce around from, like, I'm so far behind.
I know, I find something new every day, but I can't allow myself to surf all day long.
Media is so thick these days. I mean, you can watch TV all day. I mean, well, not all day, because there's a lot of stupid stuff on there. But you could watch a little bit of TV or watch some. I caught a rerun of Good Times last night. I was like, whoa! James is yelling, and it was great. And but then, you know, you get on YouTube and just spend so much time there. You find, go to iTunes or whatever, whatever you're using to catch your podcast, and download a bunch of stuff. And you're like, oh yeah, that's great. I'm gonna listen. This guy has tons of episodes. And then it's like, well, how am I gonna fit that between Jack Spirko and Dave Ramsey and you know, Six String Bliss and, you know, all these other other podcasts I want to listen to, but and that's it. And I understand that's what I'm competing with, with these other people for all these people's ears, so that they can listen to me.
You know,
you have YouTube. There's so many outlets to really check out what's going on in music online. You talk about, well, this is, you know, I'm going to make this store the best, you know, for that I can do it for what I want. And, you know, nothing against the box stores, nothing against this other mom and pop store.
Right.
That's the variety. Because, I mean, there are other used guitar shops in the area and everything, but not all of them the same.
Right. I know. And they are all a little different. Actually, I think that's why we get along, you know, because we all offer a little something different. And, yeah, just anything in life, you know, everybody's a little different, but I don't know. I really like the start we have. We have big plans, and I think we can reach our goals. So, you know, we're looking forward to the future big time. Making more friends, making more players, introducing more people to each other, you know, and selling some gear along the way, basically.
You had an Ibanez analog delay in here, didn't you?
Yes.
Last week?
Yes.
Yeah. Had? It's like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. I see the cool Ibanez FL9 flanger.
The wahs are all gone as well.
Yep.
It was a pedal week.
Yeah, well, pedals are cool, man. You listeners of this show know why I dig pedals. I've been trying to thin out, man. It's tough. You start selling them, you're like, oh, yeah, that looks good. And then all of a sudden you go to another store or whatever, and you're like, there's an analog delay. Ibanez an analog delay from the 80s. Like, yeah, it won't be here long.
You know, I wonder what the next trend will be, because when we're close to the same age. When we were younger, I remember everybody had stomp boxes. And at that time, probably because I was young and you know, didn't have any money, I had old 60s, really, really junk fuzz box type stomp boxes. I never had any of the cool stuff. And then rack gear came in about the time I was working and could buy my own gear. So I had a rack, and that was the coolest thing. And nobody, I mean, I wouldn't have been seen with a little distortion pedal, because I had cool rack gear. And now, you know, rack gear is laughed at. That's the 80s or early 90s gear, and it's all pedals again. So what's the next trend going to be? Pods, I guess, of some kind.
You know, it's honestly, I think it's swinging back to the digital, because they're getting, I remember whenever, but the SGX 2000 ART came out, like 91, 92,
mm-hmm.
It was 24-bit. And everything else was 16-bit, and it sounded so much better. Now then, they're emulating amp tones and preamp tones with real tubes in these things.
Right.
And they're getting so much better. And I know I have some friends who are very, very analog. They were all about analog.
Oh, yeah.
Now, a little,
yeah,
little board that has a bunch of buttons and lights and stuff on it that goes to a rack.
Yeah.
And it, you know,
I bet it'd be scary to be in the manufacturing business for for that kind of thing. But the way things become obsolete so quick, you know, it's you better grab it quick.
But I was really surprised when these guys went that way, and I think there was a bit of financial motivation, because boutique, I mean, if you want those 70s and 80s
right.
Boxes, they do cost more.
Yep.
And the modern, the new stuff, the boutique stuff, it's quite expensive.
Pretty salty,
like my full tone OCD, that's like $135 pedal, which is not terribly expensive, but that's when you can get a DS1 distortion pedal
right.
for $40. $40.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, why am I going to pay, you know, three times as much for this, you know, plus tax? You know, yeah. Why? Well, it's true bypass and it sounds better.
Yeah,
that's why.
Because it's pro gear. And then
it has this
and
cool
once you reach that level, you're going to find another one from this guy who's the boutique guy of the month.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many talented dudes out there.
Oh, I played a Landgraf distortion pedal overdrive last week. Yeah, and it's used.
Gotta have
you
it.
Wouldn't believe. Oh, it's really nice. Really nice. You can get all kinds of different tones. I mean, you could tweak it like a really good Mesa Boogie. I mean, you could really and just make notes, have a cheat sheet out to the side of it. So you're like, here's this tone. You know, here's, you know, whole lot of love tone. Here's, you know, whatever, all that. And you wouldn't believe how much that little pedal is. Three knobs and a three-way toggle switch on off. You wouldn't believe how much.
Super versatile.
We would have believed how. Oh yeah, it's very versatile, but you wouldn't believe how much it costs and it's used. I mean, it's
big money.
If I were a professional, I mean, it's a great pedal, but I mean, the thing is, you'd still have to bend over and do your thing with it. But I think it'd be great for a studio musician, which is one of my all-time dreams too. Is when I realized that, you know, I wasn't really wanting to travel anymore or anything like that. In your 20s, oh, I want to travel really bad. Close to 30, studio musician, getting married, and a wife who's, you're not traveling. Yeah. Really, but I'm just not good enough guitar player to be a studio musician to be that precise, because, you know, a live gig is so much different than being in the studio. You mess up in the studio, everybody's going to hear it every time you play.
Yep.
Every time they press play and listen to that song, they're going to go, yep, botched that one. Live, it goes right by them. I mess up all the time live. I'm like, I can't believe I did that. I'm like, what? You sounded great.
Yeah.
What you're talking about. You didn't know it.
Got away with it. Yep.
Yeah. A good buddy of mine, he was playing this last weekend, and amazingly, I caught him. And it was the only reason why is because I've played that same song, that same very, and it's a tough part.
Yeah.
It's not like it's real fast or anything. It's just the way the melody goes, it has to be just right. It's easy to miss this one note.
Yeah.
And he missed it. He just turned his head and smiled a little bit, like, oh. I was like, and I think he wants me to be honest.
Yeah, I throw the truth serum on my buddies too when they play out. If they're asking questions, I try to be straight up with them too about their rig or whatever.
Uh-huh. I didn't point and laugh or anything. It's like, but I told him that it's a challenging part because it's an awkward change because you want to go to the next. It resolves funny on that lick, and then it resolves right on the next one. It's like leaving you hanging, and then it brings it right back. And but that's the key to it. And
you have to nail it.
And it's not like it's. I mean, they're probably only like quarter and eighth notes. They're not really fast. Well, something else you said, you told me before about having the teachers here. They're not only teaching your students. But in downtime, you get to talking about guitars, and somebody grabs a guitar, and you occasionally get lessons from a handful of people.
Yeah, I have teenagers come in here who can play, and I don't mean they have to be Chet Atkins or Yngwie. I just mean if they know a song that I don't know, I'll go over and have them show me, and certainly all four of the teachers are big, big steps ahead of me. I'm an okay guitar player. I've been playing a long time, but I just kind of reached a level. I guess I was too lazy to progress and become great, or I just don't have the God-given talent, whatever. But anyway, I really take advantage of lessons from all the teachers. I constantly am trying to learn a new style, a new song, a new lick. You know, it's still fun to me. That's never lost, and hopefully it never will be. I don't want to be here if it's not fun.
But, I understand that.
I don't see it happening.
You know what that probably does to that kid, that 14-year-old kid, when he does that, and you're like, show me that again.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's got to enjoy that, you know, giving a lesson to an old dude.
He's probably, you got to stick your chest. God, yeah, man, that old guy.
You know, it's easy enough to go learn the chords or whatever, and then it's fun for them too, and then they're more comfortable to jam, and you know how it is. A lot of folks, when they come into a guitar shop, they're uncomfortable if they're not real advanced yet, you know. I mean, that's kind of part of the job, is to make them comfortable. You know, I don't expect everybody who comes in here to be, you know, a 10 on the scale. Most guys are a 6, and a lot of folks are just starting, and, you know, you want to make them comfortable. Go ahead and try it. You know, I'll sit there and play with you, and we'll strum some easy chords, and that's a lot of the fun.
Well, that goes back to being a nice guy, welcoming them and encouraging them along instead of being intimidating and making them feel stupid when they walk in the door.
Yeah, last thing you want to do is grab a guitar and try to blow their face off with the coolest thing, you know. And, you know,
then they're just more into,
you know, that ain't what they want to hear. They want to try out some gear, or, you know, if they're here for a lesson, they want to get better. If they're here to look at gear, then they want to hear the gear or feel it, and, you know.
You know, one of the things is that, you know, instinct as a guitar player has played as long as we have. You know, you want to let them know how, you know, yeah, I'm a really good guitar player. I could really teach you really well. And then, like, way intimidated. I don't think I can get there. I mean, and if it's going to be like 20 years before I get to that level. No, it's not. It may not be. But it's what you want it to be.
Right.
You set your goals and where you know.
And as a teacher, you have that skill set that you're realizing that, you know, and I try to do that as a business owner as well. You know, you gotta have the governor on your mouth, on your hands, you know, to make your students and our customers and, you know, our neighbors and friends comfortable in that setting. Yeah. I mean, that's a skill that has to be learned. There's so much I don't know that I'm still learning, but that's definitely one of the lessons.
Yeah, most of my students are learning Mary Had a Little Lamb or Ghost Riders in the Sky, Happy Birthday. You know, I have a couple that are making that step to things like Sweet Home Alabama and Back in Black. But,
yep,
you know, for the most part, and, you know, that's tough. That's a tough step. You know, chords and then a lick in there, you know, that's something else.
It's fun. You know, we've got some students that have been here for pretty much since we opened, and it's really fun for me. I can stand back and watch, you know, they could barely play a D chord when they got here, and they're playing some lead stuff now and can play, you know, 12 bar progressions and some jazz stuff, and some of them do finger style, and, you know, it's cool to watch them grow, and they're excited, and their parents are still happy when they come in. You know, they're not dreading it, so.
You know, I think we could probably have an episode just you and me talking about the methods of teaching and everything from different perspectives, from a teacher's perspective, a store owner's perspective, and both of us, how we're viewing from what the parent or student kind of comes in. I think we could probably talk a good half hour
on
that.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we're looking at from different angles, but the good thing is our goals are the same. So
right.
Yeah,
right.
We meet in the middle.
And I think people may find that interesting. It might be another time where you and I just sit down, we'll talk about that.
Yep.
And it could, of course, there's going to be a link in the show notes.
Yep.
To Brownsburg Guitar.
Brownsburg Guitar.
Yeah, Mike's not only on his own website, which is, like I said, brownsburgguitar.com, but he's on Facebook. Follow him on Facebook. He'll post photos of inventory there. He's on GBase too, and I think you can access all that from. You have links to all that from your website. So your main portal is, you know, you get information from his .com site, and then be able to go.
Yeah, and Facebook is always first.
Yeah, and like him on Facebook, and check out GBase.
Yep, GBase is a great resource. A lot of cool stuff on GBase. We got, I think our subscription allows us 30 pieces, and we try to keep 30 on there all the time. Either some old or some high-end cool stuff. And we got a lot of weird stuff, too. I go out of my way to find some weird, unusual stuff. So always try to keep a little bit of that oddball silliness in the shop. You know, we don't take ourselves too serious, so you can always find something ridiculous in here.
Yeah, but you don't want to go too far with the craziness. I think I kind of alluded to one that I went to a couple weeks ago, about a month ago, that we shouldn't have gone in there. Anyway, yeah, but there is one that's interesting that's on the wall. It's shaped like a trailer.
The Trailer Park Troubadour.
Yeah, yeah. What a guitar. Yeah, he comments every time I'm here, somebody mentions that guitar.
So. Yeah, that we always keep a weird one up front, and we've had a handful of them, but they've all left us, so
yeah.
We're always looking for the next one. We had a good weekend, bought a bunch of used guitars this weekend, so a bunch of acoustics for spring and summer, which is cool.
Campfires.
Yeah.
Barbecues.
Yep, I can't, I gotta provide something different for folks to look at, so that's a good weekend when I find some cool pieces, some old stuff too, which I like, a lot of folks like, so great weekend.
And that's a great thing about guitar. I mean, I always talk about, I hope my girls learn something respectable like a piano or yeah. Violin or something like that, but, you know, violin really kind of needs a little bit of accompaniment. A piano, yeah, throw that in your back seat.
Yeah, take exactly. That to the take that to the campgrounds.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. That's the great thing about guitar is it is so mobile.
Yep.
And when I talk about respectable instruments, you know, if you haven't listened, this is like your first time listening to me. Certainly not putting down guitar because that's me, man. I'm all about guitar.
Yeah.
Heck, I do this podcast every week. So. Well, Mike, thanks for. Lending your time for the interview and everything.
I enjoyed
it. Kind of sprung it on you last minute, and so it's been a good time.
Yeah. Thank you, Lauren.
That's, you know, it's good to have that. So, again, you know, check out brownsburgguitar.com. I'm probably going to have another conversation with Mike, and hopefully we'll have another episode. I really like that idea that talking about perspectives from for teaching, because
yeah.
I think we touched on that a little bit, but
yeah, let's do it.
I'm trying to kind of do a good broad overview. Yeah, that pretty much wraps it up for today's. Well, we're just gonna wrap it up for today's, or we're gonna be talking all night. Today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Comment on the blog or the show notes at theguitarpodcast.net/blog. Of course, there's a link to the show notes on the homepage. If you like what you heard today and you subscribe through iTunes or Zune, please let them know by writing a review. Thanks for tuning in again. This is Lauren Hunt and Mike Morris signing off for the Guitar Podcast.
See you.
Thanks a lot.